The tour content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Okay, so this shir is called New Insights into the Bracha of Shachianu. There's basically three new insights I have, okay? One is just, we're going to start with a refresher about when we say Shachianu, like what the categories are. And then the first insight is just a really good shot of the Shachianu that I saw in the Kuzari. The second is an insight that I got over Pesach about the Shachianu at the Seder, which we say is part of Kiddush. And then the third one, if we have time, is a question that I've been working on lately about why we don't say a Shachianu for Sfiras HaOmer, which there's an answer that is more well-known, and then the answer that I want to focus on is the answer that's less well-known. Okay, so we'll see how much we get through. I have to end by 11:30. What time? If any other time restraints that I should be aware of, because we'll moderate accordingly. Okay. All right. So as long as we're done by 11:30. Okay. So let's just go over the basic translation here. So how do we translate the Brach of Shechianu? It's Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shechianu v'kiyamanu v'higyanu l'zman hazeh. Okay. So we know the normal way we translate Sidurim translate this is blessed are you Hashem. But I don't know if you remember this, Nava, but in Tefillah class in Shal Havidim, I taught what the actual meaning is, because you're not blessing Hashem. So there's another translation that I favor. Or is there another translation that you guys have heard for blessed you Hashem? It's just a good idea to have in mind. So what it really means when we say Baruch, so we're not doing an action to Hashem. Baruch is an adjective that God is blessed, okay, which means that he is the source of blessing, okay? You, Hashem, are the source of blessing, okay? That's actually what we mean by it. So Elokeinu, our God, King of the universe, okay? How would you translate Shehechayanu v'kiyamanu v'higiyanu la'azman hazeh? Something.
Isn't it like that kept us alive and sustained us and like let us reach this moment?
Okay, that's a great translation. Okay, so I'm just going to change it to who, because we're talking about a being. So who how do you say it? Gave us life, or who made us be alive? I forgot how you said it.
I also did.
Okay, fine. So let's just who gave us life, who sustained us.
I actually forgot the exact phrasing. Yeah.
They are
something like that.
It is somewhat synonymous. And I have an explanation about why it's synonymous, but we're not going to go into that unless people are interested. And who brought us to this time. Okay. So that's Shechianu. Now, Shechianu is one of these brachos that we say, that there are different categories about, or times when we say it. Okay. So based on what you guys know, what are the occasions that warrant a Shechianu?
I think typically like before a holiday and when you want to make a bracha on something new, essentially, that gives you kind of like an excitement.
Okay, good. So one category, which I actually forgot to quote that here, but that's going to be the one we focus on, is we say Shechianu at the outset of a holiday, okay? And we do it for all the Mo'adim, including Yom Kippur, okay? So even though, in other words, you might think that the Shechianu that we say on a holiday is connected just to the mitzvos that we're doing, as we're going to see later on, but it really is on the holiday itself, because we say it at the outset of Yom Kippur, even though there's no Kiddush and there's no like positive mitzvos that we do in action. Okay. So, so we say it on the holiday, and then we say it on getting new stuff. So the Rambam here says, and I'm reading from the Rambam, just because, again, as usual, the Rambam presents it in the clearest way. What we do halakhically, like for halakhic practice, is more complicated. So we're not going to get into the complications of that here. Rambam says, I'm just going to pick and choose things from the Rambam here. In Hilchos Brachos, Perek Yud, first halakha, Habone Bayis Chadash, someone who builds a new house, the Hakone Kelim Chadashim, and someone who buys new implements or utensils or whatever you want to call it, translate. Kelim is one of those like, very multi-use terms that could refer to, you know, like silverware, to garments, to, to a car, like, you know, kelim. Bein sheyesh lo kiyotze behen, bein ein lo. Whether you have things similar to them or not, meaning it doesn't have to be new to you as a category. It could just be like a new instance of them. Mevarach baruch atah Hashem Elokim ha'olam she'achyanu v'kiymanu v'higyanu l'zman hazeh. Okay, so that's so we've had two categories so far. There's actually, let me make a list here. Wait, types of she'achyanu. So we have this is change the font. Can't allow that to happen. So we have at the onset of a Yom Tov. Okay, that's one. Then we have when acquiring new kalim. Okay, what are other cases where we say Shechianu?
A friend you haven't seen in 30 days.
Okay, good. When you see a friend you haven't seen in 30 days. And by the way, I know I just said that we're not going to get into the halachic details of this practically, but like I'm just going to say this just so we don't have a misunderstanding here, that my understanding, and maybe there's machlokas here, is that we say for a new kli and seeing a friend you haven't seen in 30 days, it's when you have like a tremendous amount of simcha, okay? It's not like you have an acquaintance that like you met once and then you see them again after 3 days, or it's not like you go to you go like to the store and like buy like aluminum foil. Okay, like we're talking about like something that fills you with simcha. So the Rambam here says haroe es chavira la'achar shalosh yom avarach shechianu. Okay, so that's another category. All right, a couple more. What are some other ones? Some are more well known, some are less.
Is there one when you hear good news?
Mm-hmm. When you hear good news. So the Rambam here says, where is it? Okay. So it's actually interesting here. So he says, he gia elav shmua tova, shashama shmua tova. He gia elav tova. If something good happens to you, o shashama shmua tova, or you hear good news, alfa pish hadvarim marin shetova zo tigrom lo ra'a, even though it seems things indicate that this good will cause bad, mavarach hatova metiv. Then you say the brach of hatova metiv. Or if something bad happens to you, or if you hear something bad, like bad news, even though it seems like this bad is going to cause good, then you make the bracha of Dayan HaEmes. Because you make the bracha, you don't make the bracha based on the future, you make it on what's happening right now. But then the rule the Rambam doesn't get to till later on, he says, he gives a case. Amrulo mes avi virashto. So this is the case where something simultaneously bad and good happens. So he says, if they tell you that your father died and you inherited from him, if you have siblings, mevarach batchila dayana emes. So first you make a dayana emes on the death, the achar kach hatova metiv, and then you make hatova metiv on the inheritance. Vim ein imo achim, and if you don't have siblings, mevarach shechianu, then you make shechianu, and then he summarizes the rule. Kitzbo shel davar, the sum of the matter is shekol tova shehi lo ulacherim mevarach hatova meitiv. Any good thing that happens to you and others, you make hatova meitiv. V'tova shehi lo levado, and if it's a good that's just yours, you make shechianu. Okay, so let's say that here. So when something good happens to just you, or when you hear new good news that benefits just you, they say Shechianu. Okay, and he also gave the example of this with the Yardu Gushamim Rabim Imish Lo Sade Mevarch Shechianu V'im Haisa Shelo V'Shelachem Mevarch Hatova Metiv. So if a lot of rain falls and you own a field by yourself, you make Shechianu. But if it's yours and other people's, then you say Shechianu. Okay, two more categories. I guess depending on how you count, two or four more categories.
This one is kind of controversial, but okay. On the birth of a baby girl.
So there is a category on births, which I think actually fits into the category of good news. And I assume what you're referring to with the controversy is that there are definitely halakhic sources that say that you make a shechianu on the birth of a boy. And I guess because women, birth of a girl was not viewed as like as happy of an occasion, then people didn't make a shechianu on the birth of a girl, but that might not be the same nowadays. Is that what you're alluding to?
I thought that it was also with like Hatova Meiti Vashek Yanu. But I'm not certain.
Okay, yeah. So I actually have not looked into that. I'm just like peripherally aware of the category. So that actually is it's not its own category that fits under the good thing, good news or good thing that happens. So there's this weird one which I've never really like looked into either. Haroe pri hamischadish mishana lashana betchilas riaso mavarach shachianu. So when you see a seasonal fruit ripening for the first time that season, then you say shachianu. Okay, and then there's one more category which really has three subcategories about shachianu, and I kind of alluded to it before when I was talking about the omer. About the fact that we don't make a bracha on the Omer of Shachianu, but what category would, you know, is similar to that? So it is on mitzvos, okay, certain mitzvos. So here the Rambam has three subcategories. He says, Kol mitzvah shehi mizman lezman, any mitzvah that is from time to time, and by that he means it's on the calendar at regular intervals. Kagon shofar, v'sukkah, v'lulav, v'mikra megillah, v'ner chanukah. Right, so those are three. Shofar we do once a year. Sukkah we do for 7 days a year. Lulav we do for 7 days a year. Mikra megillah we do once a year. And ner chanukah we also do for 8 days. V'chein kol mitzvah shehi kinyan lo. Also any mitzvah that is an acquisition to him. Kagon tzitzis utfilin mezuzah umakeh. Okay, these are mitzvahs that involve objects that you own. So you make the shachianu when you first, I guess, inaugurate that object as a mitzvah use. V'chein mitzvah she'ina tadira v'ina mitzuya b'chol eis. And similarly, a mitzvah that is not frequent and does not happen all the time. Shehari hi dome le'mitzvah she'in mizman lezman, because it's comparable to a mitzvah that is from time to time. Kagon milas b'no u'pidyon b'no, like bris mila and pidyon haben. This is also controversial. There are rishonim who hold that you don't make a shachian on bris mila because you're in pain when you see your son suffering. But the Rambam holds you do. So there are these three categories here. I'm going to go like this on certain mitzvos. Okay. A, cyclical mitzvos. Okay. I'm meaning from time to time. B, mitzvos which involve acquisitions. And then C is infrequent mitzvos. Okay. Even if they're not cyclical. Okay. So let's just get a basic answer here. So what we know, Shachianu is a praise or a thanks, depending on how you look at it. What should your kavana be, I guess, or what is the idea behind the bracha? What are you praising or thanking God for, given the fact that there's such a diversity in what you say this on? Okay, like in other words, what do all these things have in common? And what idea can we get for saying Shachianu? And there's not one answer. Like I'm open to, I just want to like, since the main part of this year is going to be on the Shachianu at Pesach and on the Omer and on Shavuos, I kind of want to just get a basic idea of what we have in mind when we say Shachianu. So what do you guys say?
I've always thought it's like, if you're experiencing a moment of happiness, that you should just not just have, not stay in your own head, but recognize the reality of the source of your existence that allows you to have this joy.
Okay, good. I think that is a great basic idea. I also have the same idea. Anyone have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I've always heard that answer too, but now that I'm looking at all of them, I think they all have like an aspect of time maybe to them.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Right, definitely. And we do mention the time in the actual bracha, so that lends itself to that. It is interesting that like onset of Yom Tov is clearly related to time. Seeing a friend you haven't seen in 30 days, is related to time in the sense that time has passed. Seasonal fruit is definitely connected to time. Mitzvos are definitely connected to time, at least categories A and C. Acquiring new kalim and then hearing good news is interesting because it does relate to time, but in a different way. So can we like express like it's not time in the sense that, oh, it's that time of year again, or I saw you again after 30 days. Like what's the, how would you express the relationship of time to the bracha in these cases?
I think you can't have that feeling of joy unless you've had a period of time where you haven't had it. In other words, a consistent state like that wouldn't feel this way.
Okay, good. So one thing is it's the contrast of the time I experienced without this thing and then the time I have now. Okay, that's one understanding. There's going to be another. Yeah, Fago, go ahead.
It could also be like about the future, and that like we have this new Kli that's really exciting. Yeah. We're going to be able to use it. And
oh, okay, that's also good. Yeah,
like it's going to benefit us in the future.
Okay, good. Yeah. So the interesting thing about Shehecheyanu is that it does kind of reference past, present, and future, right? Because it's referencing the past in the sense that you're acknowledging that God gave us life in the past and sustained us, but then you're actually ending off by praising God for the present. But then the occasion that you are saying this on is going to pertain to the future, either the immediate future of like the mitzvah you're going to do, or like the enjoyment that you're going to have coming forward, you know? So it is an interesting thing that it is, you know, the bracha is actually called, you know what Chazal don't call this Birkas Shehecheyanu. They have a nickname for the bracha. You know what they call it? I'm just realizing this now. They call it Birkas Hazman, the blessing of time. Okay, so that fits in really well with what Nava was saying. And it is on all three periods of time. Okay, so I want to read to you the Kuzari's interpretation, which touches upon several of these points. He adds a few points of his own, and then I just want to share a way that my Shehecheyanu has changed recently, and then that'll yeah, Vega.
Sorry, I just have a clarifying question. Sure. How is the future alluded to?
Oh, I thought that's what you were saying. I thought you were saying because you're going but to be using.
As in the phrasing of the bracha.
So it's not in the phrasing of the bracha, it's in the circumstance of the bracha, that because you are about to enjoy this this experience, or you're going into Yom Tov, or you're going to do this mitzvah, then that is the, you know, that is the, where the bracha is, like the bracha is setting you up to experience what you're going to have in a different way.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and the Kuzari is going to elaborate on that. So ordinarily, I like, you know me, I like reading the source inside, the Kuzari was actually written in Arabic. And so I actually feel comfortable reading an English translation because we're reading a translation anyway. So this is Rabbi Daniel Korobkin's translation. He says, so the rabbi, in the dialogue between the rabbi and the Kuzari, says, preparing oneself for the sensation of pleasure, while thinking about the contrasting lack of pleasure before the pleasure arrives, serves to heighten the pleasurable experience. This is one of the benefits of blessings for one who regularly recites them with a proper reflection and preparation. They portray to the soul the type of pleasure about to be experienced, the appropriate expression of gratitude towards the provider with a capital P, and the contrasting lack of this pleasure that he would have experienced were not for God's gift. This heightens the enjoyment. So first of all, I just think it's interesting. He's saying, you know, this is a very like Mishleic reason for saying the Shehecheyanu is, not just Shehecheyanu, sorry, for saying brachos in general, especially Birkas Nehen and Birkas on pleasure, is he's saying it heightens the pleasure. And what it does, there was actually an earlier case where the Kuzari explains this. But you know what? I think I might have quoted this in, hold on. I gave a shir on Kiddush. In a glass. Oh yeah, it's gonna take me too long to find this. I think I gave this in a shir earlier last year, that like when you say, I think he gives the example of making a bracha over wine, or maybe it's me giving the example, that if you could just drink wine and that's a pleasurable thing, but when you think about, when you involve yourself, if you just drink the wine, you're involving yourself physically and psychologically, okay? But when you say a bracha over wine and you think about it and you have kavana, you are involving yourself intellectually as well by thinking about where this came from and what purpose it serves in your entire value system. And then that also has the effect, just the mere fact that you're pausing before you do it also has the effect of heightening the psychological anticipation and the psychological pleasure. And so much of the physical pleasure is dependent on the psychological pleasure that like that you enhance all three of them. You know, you get the better physical, psychological, and intellectual. So that's a great like reason for brachos in general. But now he connects it to Shehecheyanu in particular. He says, an example of this is the Shehecheyanu blessing. You have kept us alive, sustained us, and brought us to this point in time. This blessing allows you to ponder that you could have easily been dead by now. Okay, so this is, as the Stoics would say, this is a memento mori device, a reminder of your own mortality. You therefore thank God for having kept you alive. You will view life as a gift, and as a result, sickness and death, should they come, will be of smaller consequence in your eyes. You will have already pondered carefully and concluded that you have been receiving gifts all along from God, although you are really worthy of being deprived of all this goodness because you are dust. But despite this, God has granted you life and pleasure, and so you thank him. And when he takes away the pleasures from you, you will also thank him. You will alleviate your pain by saying, God gave and God took away. May the God of name be, may the name of God be blessed. That's from Eov. In this way, your whole life will be filled with pleasure. So you're basically reflecting on the fact that I should not take this for granted. You know, like Esty said, there is this feeling when you have something that you are enjoying or are about to enjoy. There's this feeling of like, I deserve this, or this is from me, or this is intrinsically something that like I'm getting, you know, and that's false, right? Really, you only are able to enjoy this because Hashem has kept you alive and sustained you to this time and given you all this good. And despite your undeservingness, and we all are not ultimately deserving of anything, then God granted you this good. So you're taking that feeling of joy and then rerouting it towards a true idea, which is an acknowledgement of the source and your own undeservingness. And that enhances your pleasure because you realize like, wow, I could have not had this. And I did receive it. So it is it's a blessing on, it's funny, you know, in a lot of mindfulness circles, people talk about like being present, and you are being present. Like you're literally blessing God on the present, on the fact that he brought you to this time, but it's being present with gratitude towards the one who made possible this moment and all of its goodness, as opposed to what it could have been, which is either not this goodness or not being around at all. Okay. So that's, I think that touches on a lot of the ideas that you guys were saying, but you know, he adds the element of it's going to enhance the pleasure as well. Yeah. Nava.
Just like in other words, this is kind of like a systemic reminder essentially of like in these like set times of joy where you could potentially easily be like, not necessarily forgetting these things, but not as involved in it. Like, right. It's rerouting that joy. Like you
exactly.
said,
exactly.
Like, just another.
Yeah. Detail. I like the introduction of the word systemic in here, cause it is very systemic. And I want to share an example of this that, like all other Jews, then, I say Shehecheyanu, or hear Shehecheyanu at Kiddush on Yom Tov. Okay. My Shehecheyanus have fundamentally changed every Yom Tov since Pesach of 2020. Okay. So Pesach of 2020, as we remember, was the first Yom Tov of the pandemic. And it was the only Yom Tov that I have spent away from the only Pesach I had spent away from my family. So, you know, I just have to talk about the life circumstances at the time. So it was the pandemic, right? And Shall Have It, the school that I taught at for 10 years, had just been announced that it was closing. And I had not yet like secured a livelihood with a job or jobs going forward. There was talk, but there was nothing like, I didn't have a concrete, thing going forward. And like the world was in a state of chaos and I wasn't home, you know? And I remember all of this stress and anxiety and depression and like grieving was going on. And I was forced to make Pesach here. It was the first Pesach I had ever made, you know, essentially by myself. And so that was stressful, but Johnny, my brother and I were here, and I remember making Kiddush and, at the night of Pesach and making Shehecheyanu and being filled with this immense gratitude that despite everything that's going on, I have this good of, you know, I have a roof over my head. I have food. I have family. I have friends. I have health. I have, you know, what we're about to partake of. And it was just this moment of gratitude that I could not be here. I could be dead, you know, and we had known even at that point that there were people dying and we had no idea how high the number would go. And every Yom Tov since that Pesach, at least the first Kiddush of the Yom Tov, I feel this tremendous feeling of gratitude, of being present and gratitude for the present time. And I just, you know, I urge you at the next, you know, the next time we are going to say Shehecheyanu, if we are zocha to be alive for that long, is Shavuos. And if you can pause and just, before you say the Shehecheyanu or hear the Shehecheyanu, pause and just take a moment to reflect on this when you get to the Kiddush. And, you know, if you really want to spread the good, tell the rest of the people who are there, tell them a short version of this idea, you know, and maybe just pause for a moment before the Shehachianu is said so that you could experience this, and it will set the tone for the rest of your Yom Tov. So that's my little pro tip about like how to internalize Shehachianu here. Okay, that's the end of the first part of the shiur. Any questions or comments on this?
I guess more so comment, because I really just appreciate the intentionality within that. Like taking that moment and just acknowledging all of those things. Like, it's very powerful and it really does impact like your chag or whatever, like going forward.
Yep, definitely. And I'll pair this with something that I've talked about on the Stoke Jew podcast that just this short version of it. If you want, I can send you the episode. Is the Shavuos of 2020, which was the first. Time is still so messed up. Wait, this was this that? No, this is the Shavuos of 2021. I'm so messed up. Yeah, Shavuos of 2020, things weren't open yet, right? So the Shavuos of 2021 was when I had this idea, which was idea that you should like live each day as if it were your last. And there, the problem I've always had with that is, while it's true that you could die at any moment, statistically, it's not going to be your last day. Okay, statistically, like, you know, unless you are sick or in a dangerous, you know, area, it's not going to be your last day. So the question always is, like, how can you live as though it's your last day, but also face the reality that this is probably not your last day, you know? So this idea came to me. Yeah, Esty?
And also not get depressed about it on the other.
Oh, right. And not get depressed about it. Right. Yeah. That's the other danger. Right. Yeah. So this idea came to me in its most powerful form on Shavuos of 2021, which was the first Yom Tov that was entirely normal, at least in our community, that we were like having meals at everyone's houses and everything like that. So I realized that, you know, I was sitting there, I think it was in the morning, I was learning, and I realized, you know, this might not be my last day, but this is the last time I'm going to experience this day, meaning this particular Shavuos 2021 with who I am right now, with these people around me, with this meal that I'm going to, being at this age, being with these ideas, undeniably, it's 100% guarantee I will not experience this exact day again. And then I realized that like, you know, it really is the last time I'm going to experience this. And so I should enjoy it and be grateful for it and be present in it. And you could do that every day. Now, psychologically, it's very hard to do that every day, but I think it's easier to do this on Yom Tovs. And if you use the Shehachianu as a springboard for remembering this idea that as you're going into the Yom Tov, you think to yourself, this is the last instance of this Shavuos that I am going to have. And you thank God for it and have this kavana in mind that we've been talking about, you will experience the day differently. And you can do it every Shabbos if you want, also for Kiddush, but like Shehachianu is like a verbal reminder that I think is very useful. Okay, next topic. So speaking of Shehachianu, so I was going over the Haggadah prior to this past Pesach, and I was just reviewing it because I lead the Seder in my home. And I noticed that at the bracha at the end of Magid, there is a phrase that that made me go, huh. So at the very end of Magid, so we say the two prakim of Hala, and then we conclude with this bracha right before the second cup. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Ga'alanu V'Ga'al Es Avoseinu Mimitzrayim. You Hashem are the source of blessing, who redeemed us and redeemed our fathers from Egypt. V'higiyanu Halayla Hazeh, and brought us to this night. Okay, Lechol Bo Matzah U'Maror, to eat on it matzah and maror. Okay. So I thought to myself, it's interesting that we use the same phrase, higyanu halayla, not the exact same phrase, not la lazman hazeh, but higyanu halayla hazeh. He brought us to this night to eat on it matzah and maror. Okay. And I looked at some of the mefarshim. Oh, I actually put this in the wrong place. I looked at some of the mefarshim here, and the Ribar Yakar on the Haggadah actually acknowledges this point. He says, V'halashin hazeh, so he's commenting on this bracha, v'higyano halayla hazeh, ne'etzal min halashin she'omer v'higyano lasman hazeh. The lashon in this bracha on the Haggadah literally flows or emanates from what we say in Shehachianu v'higyano lasman hazeh, who brought us to this time. Okay. And that's the only comment I found that relates the two. So what I was thinking, and this is like a very vague question, this is not as pointed as the questions I usually ask, is there a relationship between the bracha on Magid and the Shehecheyanu we say at the beginning of the Seder? Okay, or is it just using the same lashon? Okay, and it's a very vague question. Some questions feel like, for me, some questions feel like you are using the question to conduct an investigation. Some questions feel like you're going fishing. Okay, if something bites, it bites. If it doesn't bite, it doesn't bite. You know, so this is more like a fishing question. Okay,
so what's the question?
The question is that the phrasing in this bracha on Magid of that God brought us to this night to eat matzah and maror is very similar to the phrasing in Shehecheyanu, Higyanu Lazman Hazeh. And the Ri Bar Yakar says that the phrase is actually, the phrase in the bracha on Magid actually does come from the Shehecheyanu. My question is that where the similarities end? Is it just similar phrasing, or is there some sort of similar idea, you know, that we can like bring out in this bracha? Is there a greater similarity here? That's my question.
Well, wouldn't you have to say, I mean, why would you take phrasing from something if you weren't borrowing from the idea of it?
So it's a good question. The reason why you would take phrasing if you're not borrowing the idea is that there is an idea of like an economy of phrases that we do use the same phrases over and over and over again in tefillah. Once we find a good phrase, then we will use it, even if it's not exactly applying the idea. And best example of this is all the phrases in Shemona Esrei and the Brachos come from, or most of the phrases come from Tanakh. Sometimes the pasuk we derive it from is a similar concept, but sometimes we're just borrowing the phrase from the Navi itself, you know? So there are, my only point is that there are cases where we just use similar phrasing because we have, it's like, there's like the way the Rav says it is he says that, I don't want to go into the Rav thing right now. Yeah, let's leave it at that for now. Is that not all, just factually speaking, not all phrases that are parallel necessarily point to parallel ideas.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
I have a suggestion, sure. But maybe the connection is that, like here we're talking about matzah and maror, and matzah is like a symbol of freedom, maror is a symbol of slavery. Yeah. And the same way that like we say a Shehecheyanu on good news juxtaposed with bad news, like this seems to be something that we're doing here.
Okay, that's a good idea. That is a good idea. By the way, just a side note, you said matzah has to do with the freedom and maror has to do with slavery. There is actually a machlokus about whether at the time that we eat a korban pesach, whether you would say v'higyanu halayla zeh lechol bo pesach matzah umaror or not. So the Rambam holds not. The Rambam holds you only say matzah and maror even if you're eating the pesach, which lends support to your idea that we're referring to these things thematically, you know, like the theme of matzah and the theme of maror. Okay, so that's good. So it could just be part of our entire praise on what matzah and maror represents. Okay, so that is a good theory. By the way, I should read the rest of the bracha. We go on and we say, Kain ad Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoteinu yaginu l'moadim v'liragalim achirim. In a similar manner, Hashem our God and the God of our fathers bring us to holidays and pilgrimage festivals, other ones, okay, that are coming to greet us in peace, rejoicing, smechem b'vinyan irecha v'sasim b'vodosacha, rejoicing in the building of your city and being gleeful. Is that a word? Yeah, in the in your service, and we will eat there of the sacrifices and the psachim that whose blood reaches the wall of your mizbeach favorably. And we will give thanks to you with a new song on the redemption, our redemption, and the redemption of our soul. Baruch Hashem, you Hashem are the source of blessing to all Israel who redeemed Israel. Okay, so Fega's idea is entirely fine. Okay. What happened to me is I actually did not get a chance to think of my own idea, because what happened was I had in a flash of insight another idea based on two separate shirim that I've heard. Okay, now I'm going to do a no-no here. Okay, and I'll introduce the no-no with something that a friend told me on Pesach. So we invited someone over for a Pesach meal, and this friend of mine knew that I was into movies. You know, so she said. She said, like, I'm going to tell you something and just don't hate me for it. I was like, what do you mean? So she said, I also enjoy movies, but I don't have time to watch them. So here's what I do. She said, I watch the trailer then I read the Wikipedia summary, and then I watch the last 15 or 20 minutes of the movie. Okay. And I was like, no, like, I don't know if that's better than nothing or worse than nothing, because like, you're just like, you know, so I'm going to do something similar. Is I'm going to give you the final ideas of two Shirim without taking you through the entire Shir. Okay. So the entire Shir is more enjoyable, but we're going to kind of like use the conclusions as building blocks here. So the first Shir is found in the Siach HaGrid, which is the Haggadah written with the Rav's Torah. And the Rav is basically dealing with this question of, you know, ordinarily on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're allowed to make Kiddush early. Okay. And many of us do this all the time. We make Kiddush, you know, after plag, before it is nightfall. Okay. So that's totally fine, because the mitzvah is to make Kiddush when Shabbos or Yom Tov enters. And so when, as long as you brought in Shabbos, then that's fine. However, on the night of Pesach, then you can only make Kiddush after Tseis, after it's definitely nightfall. Okay. And the Rav goes and explains that the reason why is because Kiddush is one of the four cups, and the four cups have to be done b'shah shematza umara munachim levenacha, when you're at a time when you're chayv in matza and mara. So you have to do the four cups when it is definitely night. Okay. But then he weaves this theory where he says as follows. Okay. And again, we're jumping in partway through this year. He says, umi'ata nachazi anan im be'emes hadavarim shemasadim. I'm actually just going to read this in English. Okay. He says, and now we see in truth that the statements that we say in order over the cups, all of these statements contain in them kiyum shel sipur yetzias Mitzrayim, a fulfillment of the mitzvah of telling the story of going out from Egypt. Okay, behold, on the second cup we say Haggadah over it. Okay, so that's clearly about yetzias Mitzrayim. We say the entire Haggadah over the second cup, and the fourth cup we say Hallel over it. And Hallel has a fulfillment of sipur yetzias Mitzrayim, as we will explain. Okay, that's another shir. If so, in these two cups, meaning cup number two with the Haggadah and cup number four with Hallel, there is a kium of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We tell the story. However, we need to investigate the first cup and the third cup, which is Kiddush and Birkas Hamazon. How are the statements that we make in Kiddush and Birkas Hamazon, how do they have a fulfillment of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim? So let's see if you can answer this question before we do the Rav's answer. How is saying Kiddush, how in the contents of Kiddush, how is saying Kiddush a fulfillment of the story of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim? What do you say? And just think back to what we say in Kiddush. Yeah?
Don't we say Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim?
Oh, okay, good. Okay, no, good. So that is the first and most obvious answer. He says, Vine, the Kiddush omrim Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. In Kiddush, we say, a remembrance of the going out from Egypt. And therefore, in Kiddush, you are mentioning Mitzrayim. Okay, and we also say Zman Chayruseno, the time of our freedom. Okay, but then the Rav goes on and he says something else, and this is a really cool point. Okay, and here actually I'm going to switch to the Hebrew. Dine HaRambam, the Rambam, Venir Od. It seems furthermore, Dine HaRambam, Perek Zayin Hilchos Kamei to Matzah Halacha Dalet. The Rambam in that halacha says, when the Rambam cites the law, so there's a halacha that you have to maskil begnus umasayim b'shavach. You begin with degradation and you end in praise. Okay, and the Rambam says, "Hainu mitchila ovdi avodah zarah hayovseinu." You begin by saying that in the beginning our fathers worshipped avodah zarah. Kasav demasayim b'shavach. The Rambam writes that when we conclude with praise, how do we do that? He says, "Shemasayim b'das ha'emes." We conclude with the true religion. Shekirvanu hamakom lo, that God brought him close to, that's actually not the correct text, that God brought us close to the true religion, Judaism. V'hiv delanu mina umos, and he separated us from the nations, v'kirvanu liyichudo, and he brought us close to his oneness. Chazinan, we see from here, the sovir haramam, that the ramam holds, de bechiras Yisrael, that the choice of Israel, meaning God choosing Israel, v'hav delaso miha umos, and God separating us from the other nations, hu chelek misipur yitzias Mitzrayim. That is a component of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. In other words, you might think that Yetzias Mitzrayim is only talking about how God got us out of Mitzrayim, but the Rambam is clearly saying that choosing Israel and giving us the Torah and bringing us close to God's oneness, that is part of Sipur. V'tama shel davar, the reason for this is mishum debechiras Yisrael v'kabbalas haTorah heim heim hatachlis shel Yetzias Mitzrayim. The reason for this is that God choosing Israel and giving them the Torah, that was the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim. U'mikra malayahu, this is a full pasuk, as it says, Hashem says to Moshe, Ani Hashem Elokeichem asher hotzisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim lios lachem lelukim. I am Hashem, your God, who brings you out of Egypt to be your God. So you can't talk, he says, U'kvar herich b'zeh b'sefer hachinuch. The Sefer Chinuch goes on. I liked about this. So in other words, if you just told the story about how God took us out of Egypt, but you didn't mention giving us the Torah, that would be a lack in your telling the story because you haven't said why God brought us out of Egypt. But when you clarify and say God brought us out of Egypt because he chose us as a nation and he gave us the Torah and gave us correct knowledge of God, that's a complete telling of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So now check this out. V'im kein, if so, b'kiddush she'omrim, in kiddush when we say, Asher bachar banu mikol am v'romamanu mikol lashon v'kiddushanu b'mitzvosav. We say, who chose us from among all the people, exalted us among every culture, every language, v'kiddushanu b'mitzvosav, and he sanctified us with his mitzvos. Bazeh gufa misapir b'yitzis mitzrayim. In that statement, you are telling of the sipur yitzis mitzrayim. V'lachein kiddush hu echad midalat kosos. And you see from here that kiddush is one of the four cups. Okay, so in kiddush, in every Kiddush on Yom Tov, you say Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, and God chose us and God gave us the Torah. But on the night of Pesach, you're doing two things. You're saying Kiddush, but you're also beginning to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is why Kiddush has to be said at night when you do the rest of the story. Okay, what about Birkas HaMazon? Where in Birkas HaMazon do we engage in telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim? So the answer is in the second bracha. Ulinian kosha birkas amazon, yesh lomer de birkas haaretz. So when you're making birkas amazon on the third cup, when you make the birkas haaretz, the bracha on the land, hello omrim, don't we say, ve'al shehotze sanu me'eretz mitraim, ufti sanu me'beis avadin, that God took us out from the land of Egypt and redeemed us from the house of slaves. V'chein, ve'al torascha shalimartanu. We also, in that bracha, say, on the Torah that you taught us, shehu chelik misipur yitzis mitraim kamosh inspire. Which, as we just said, God giving us the Torah is part of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. In Cain, Gam al Kos Ashlishi Misapre Yetzias Mitzrayim, Yote de Bechol Dal Kosas Mitzkayim Mes Mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So too, so you see from here that on all four cups, we are telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay. So that's the Rav's Svara. Okay. So that in Kiddush and on Birkas HaMazon at the Seder, you're doing two things. You're saying Kiddush, but then you're also telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You're benching, but you're also telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, hold that thought, unless there are questions on that. Okay, next shir. Okay, so Rabbi Zucker gave a shir, which is on Birkos HaMitzvah. Now, most of us are not familiar with the halachos here, okay? We're familiar in practice, but not in formula. So the Rambam says these halachos for how you know which formulation to use on which Birkos HaMitzvah. And here are the rules. Kol ha'osa mitzvah, bein shayis ha'chova alav, bein she'en ha'chova alav. Anyone who does a mitzvah, whether it's an obligation or not, im asa osa la'atzmo mevarech la'asos. If you're doing the mitzvah for yourself, you make the bracha of with a lamed. Okay, we'll give examples in a second. Asa osa la'acherim, if you did the mitzvah for someone else, you say al. Okay, so there are two formats. There's la and al. Here are examples. Ketad, lavash tefillin, if he put on tefillin, mevarach lehaniach tefillin. You say lehaniach, because you're doing it for yourself. Nis'atef petitis, mevarach lehisatef petitis. If you wrap yourself in tzitzis, you say lehisatef petitis. Yashav basuka, if you sit in a sukkah, you say leshav basuka, with a lamed. V'chein hu mevarach lehadlik ner shel Shabbos, with a lamed. V'ligmor esahalo, or Ashkenazim say likro esahalo. V'chein im, okay, so those are examples where we always say le. Okay, but here come a couple of other examples. V'chein im kava mezuzah leveso. If you put up your own mezuzah for yourself, for your own house, mevarach likboa mezuzah. You say likboa. Asa ma'ake legago. If you make a fence for your roof, asher kisham b'mitzvah, it's going to la'asos ma'ake. Hifrish truma umasros la'atmo. If you separate truma and master for yourself, you say lehafrish. Mal esbeno. If you circumcise your own son, you say lamul esabin. Shachat pisco. V'chagigah, so if you shecht your korban Pesach or your chagiga, you say lishchot. Okay, however, Aval im kava mezuzah la'acherim, if you put up a mezuzah for others, let's say you're putting up your friend's mezuzah, you say, al kvias mezuzah, not likboa mezuzah. Asa lahen ma'ake, if you make a ma'ake for someone else, you say, al asiyas ma'ake. You say, al, not la'asos ma'ake. Hifrish lahem truma, if you separate truma for someone else, you say, al hafrashas truma, not lehafrish truma. Mal es ben chavero, if you circumcise your friend's son, then mevarach al hamila. You say al hamila. Okay, so you got the rule. If it's for yourself, you say la, and if it's for someone else, you say lasos. Okay.
What about things? I mean, there are exceptions, right?
Okay, and there are exceptions, right? And they're
going to dime or something.
Okay, yeah. So al natilas dime is actually a good one. Okay, in fact, he mentions this. Actually, he mentions another one. Here's another rule. Okay, which is actually two more rules. One is asa mitzvah lo ulacherim ke'echad, if you do the mitzvah for yourself and for others, im haisa mitzvah she'ena chova, if it's an optional mitzvah, mevarach al ha'asiya, then you make the bracha of al. Lefikachu mevarach al mitzvahs eruv. So eruv is not something you have to do, but if you do make an eruv, since it's for yourself and others, then you say al mitzvahs eruv. Haisa chova, but if it's an obligation, v'niskavin lohoti atma bidei chova ulohoti acherim, and you are being motzi yourself and others, mevarach la'asos. Then you say la'asos, lefikachu mevarach lishmoa kol shofar. So therefore you say lishmoa kol shofar. Okay, so this one kind of follows from the previous one. Basically, as long as you yourself are obligated in it, then you say le, you say with a lamid. But here's the case. Let's say I blow shofar in shul for myself and everyone else. So I would say lishmo kol shofar. But let's say then I go to someone else's house who couldn't make it to shul and I blow shofar for them. I would say al shmias kol shofar, because that's just for them. Okay, last case is like this. In fact, I'm just actually going to, I'm going to summarize this one. Okay. I won't. Okay. Natal es halulav. If you picked up the lulav, mivarech al natilas lulav, then you make the bracha of al natilas lulav. Why? Shekeven shehigbio, because once you lifted it up, yata yidei chavaso, you're already yotze. Aval im berach kodim shiyato, but let's say you make the bracha on lulav and then you pick it up. So then mivarech litol es halulav, kamo leshif basuka. So the rule there is that if you say the bracha before you do it, then you say le. But if you've already done it and the mitzvah is still going, like you're still holding the lulav, then you say al. Okay. So Esti mentioned the halacha of we say al natilas yadayin. It's funny, I'm realizing this for the first time now. I think that's because the common practice is you wash, and then before you dry, you say al natilas yadayim. So since you've already done the action, you've already initiated it, but you haven't completed it, you say al. I wonder though, if you were to wash before you wash your hands, if you say the bracha before you wash your hands, if you say little as hayidayim, I don't know. So if you summarize the rules, let me just write out the rules here, because you'll see where I'm going in a second. So the rules are, hold on, rules. Okay. If it is if you say a bracha on a mitzvah which A is an obligation you are fulfilling for yourself, B you are reciting it before you do the action. Okay, sorry, you know what? It's like this. If it's an obligation, B, you're fulfilling yourself, and C, you are reciting before you do the action, then you say lamed, okay? Lamed. If you say a bracha on a mitzvah, which A, is optional, B, you are fulfilling for others, and not yourself, and C, this should be and or. These aren't like strict rules. I mean, you have to see each case. Or it's after you've initiated the mitzvah but not completed it, you say al. Okay, so can we get just a basic like sense, not a whole svara, but just like, why would you say, like, how does this make sense? And what framework does it make sense? Why would you say Lihad Ligner Shal Shabbos if it is an obligation and you're doing it for yourself and before you do it? But if you're doing something for someone else, you say all. Like, why switch?
Grammatically, are you, like, if you're saying doing it for yourself, you're mitzvah, so you're saying to do this.
Yeah.
But if you're not yourself commanded, then you're saying it on the existence of the mitzvah.
Okay, good. Mitzvah. That's a great way to say it. Okay, good. So the reason is, in these cases, you're saying it on the particular ma'aseh ha-mitzvah that you are about to do, okay? And therefore, you refer to it in the infinitive because you're about to do it right now, whereas in these cases, you're not saying it on the particular ma'aseh ha-mitzvah that you're about to do, but rather you're saying it on the institution of the mitzvah itself. Like, I mean, let's say the abstract institution. So like, let's play it through with the example. So if I'm putting up a mezuzah, I say, I bless God, likboa mezuzah. Likboa means I'm about to do this right now. But if I'm doing it for you, this is not my mitzvah. So I'm blessing God on about the institution of putting up mezuzahs, like the idea of putting up mezuzahs, even though I'm not doing a particular mitzvah action right now. Okay. And maybe we could refine that, but I just wanted to like make sure that we have the intuitive sense here. Okay. Now, next question. And this is the question that Rabbi Zucker Shir was on. What bracha should you make when you eat matzah based on these rules? Should you say le'echol matzah or alachilas matzah? Same thing for maror.
Le'echol
matzah. Okay. Right. It's an obligation. You're doing it for yourself and you're reciting it before you do the action. But what bracha do we actually make on matzah?
Oh,
alachilas matzah. Okay, so that's this is one of the exceptions. Okay, and the question is why. Now, again, this is a whole shiur. Rabbi Zucker gives a bunch of other questions that are like weird about the bracha of alachilas matzah. But I'm just showing you. We're gonna do the Wikipedia article and just get the punchline. So here's Rabbi Zucker's conclusion. But why is matzah? Pesach matzah and maror really are all anomalies. Okay, I know we don't eat the Pesach nowadays. So here's what Rabbi Zucker says: V'yesh lomar. So we must say the brachos lekorbanos haPesach umatzah umaror einam stam birchos haMitzvah. So when you say the bracha on Pesach matzah and maror, those are not just birchos haMitzvah. They're not just ordinary birchos haMitzvah. Ella, rather, tahavian gam kein sipur yitzias mitzrayim ba'atman. Rather, you are the Birkas HaMitzvah is a Sipur Yitziyas Mitzrayim. You are telling the story. Okay. And let's just think about it before we read this. When did the Jews get commanded to eat matzah and maror and Pesach?
In Mitzrayim.
And why were they eating Pesach, matzah, maror in Mitzrayim? What was the purpose in the actual events? Like, what would happen if they didn't do it?
And they wouldn't leave Mitzrayim.
Okay. So in other words, so that's what Rabbi Zucker is going to say. He says, Kolomar, de kavanas vitzivano al achilas matzah. And we says v'chule, by the way, he means matzah, maror, and Pesach. So when you say, quote, God commanded us to eat matzah and Pesach and maror, he mipnei ma'ora di'etzias Mitzrayim, Hashem kava mitzvahs matzah, Pesach, umaror, laharos al inin yitzias Mitzrayim. In other words, you are referring to the fact that God commanded us at that time in these mitzvos to commemorate the event of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So you're praising. So an ordinary Birkas HaMitzvah, you're just praising God for commanding us on the mitzvah. But with these Birkas HaMitzvah, you're praising God and you're narrating the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then he says, "Mikame de Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim shall Birkas HaMatzah kai al kvius klal HaMitzvah." And since the Birkas HaMitzvah on matzah is referring to the entire institution of the mitzvah, velo rak al hamaaseh haprati she'ose la'atmo, and not just on the particular action that you're doing for yourself, lachein, therefore, einam avarach b'lashon le'echol. Therefore, we don't say le'echol matzah, because le'echol matzah would be only referring to what you're about to do, and what we want to refer to is the entire institution of that God set up this mitzvah. Hari lashon lasos b'bracha ragila le'mitzvah moreh, Davka al hamaseh prati umas lashon al hasiyah demora al klal hamitzvah. The lashon of laasos. Oh, this is just what we said. The lashon of laasos of lalamed indicates the particular thing, whereas al refers to the entire mitzvah. Now the shir is much cooler here because he goes and brings other proofs. For example, the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah will usually codify the birkas hamitzvah in that particular section of the Mishnah Torah. So, for example, where is the Rambam going to put the birkas, the halacha of lishmo kol shofar? He'll put it in hilchos shofar. Where is he going to put al kviyas mezuzah? He'll put it on mezuzah. Okay, what about litol es lulav? Al netil es lulav. He'll put that in the chapter in hilchos shofar asukah v'lulav. He'll put it in the chapter about netil es lulav. Where is he going to put leisha pasukah? In the chapter about sitting in the sukkah. However, okay, where would you expect the Rambam to put the bracha on eating the Korban Pesach? You expect him to put it in Hilchos Korban Pesach, where he talks about eating it. Where would you expect him to put the bracha of Al Achilas Matzah? In Perek Vav of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, which is where he talks about the mitzvah of eating matzah. But the Rambam doesn't put it there. Where does he put it? He puts it in Hilchos Chametz Matzah chapter 8, which is the perek about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, so that's acknowledging that really these brachos serve a dual function on Sipur and Birkas HaMitzvah. Okay, any questions on that? Okay, so when I first thought about this original question of why do we say V'higino halayla hazeh lechol matzo maror, and I noticed the similarity between that and Shehachyanu, I recalled these two shirim from the Rav and from Rabbi Zerka, and I said, huh, when you say Kiddush on the night of Pesach, Kiddush is serving a dual function. You're being Yotzei Kiddush, but you're also telling Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. When you say Birkas HaMazon on the night of Pesach, you're saying Birkas HaMazon, but it's serving a dual function. You're also telling the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. When you say Al Achilas Matzah and Al Achilas Mar and Al Achilas Pesach, you're saying a Birkas HaMitzvah, but you're also doing Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. What if when you say Shehechianu, you're doing a dual function? You're praising God for reaching this time, but you're also telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, how so? How would Higyanu Lazman Hazeh be telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim?
I mean, I guess when you're translating it, brought us to this time, we wouldn't be at this time had we not left Egypt.
Ah, okay, good. So in other words, like this is, you know, those movies or TV shows where the first scene in the movie or the TV show is really the finale, you know, and like, it shows you like right up, you know, like shows you the end of the story. Right. And then the movie or TV show goes back and then like chronologically, and then shows you everything. And then the final scene is you see the full version of the end. That's kind of what the Shehechianu is doing. That why did God take us out of Mitzrayim? So we actually say this we talked about this earlier, is God took us out of Mitzrayim to give us the Torah. But we actually say this in a pasuk in Shemos, which is, this is the answer to the Ben Tam. V'higarti lebincha b'yom ahu lemor, you should tell your son this is the Eino Yodea Lishol and the Ben Rasha, I think. You should tell your son on that day, saying, "Bavur ze asa Hashem li b'teisi mimitzrayim." For the sake of this, Hashem did for me when I went out of Egypt. And Rashi on there, it says, "Where's Bavur ze?" Because of this, "Bavur she'ekayim mitzvosav," so that I, in order for me to fulfill God's mitzvos, could go in Pesach Matzah Umaror Halalu, like this Pesach Matzah and Maror. So really, what you're doing, and by the way, and this is what we say in the bracha of Magid, we say, "V'higi anu lalayla hazeh." God took us out of Mitzrayim. He redeemed us from Mitzrayim in order to do these mitzvos. So in other words, what you're saying is you're telling the purpose of why God took us out of Mitzrayim. God took us out not so that, like on the Prince of Egypt movie, it says, so we could be free. Okay. Freedom was not an end in and of itself. Freedom was in order that God could give us the Torah and acquire us as his servants. And we could be Ovdei Hashem and do Avodas Hashem like this Avodas HaPesach and Matzah and Maror tonight. So what you're saying is you're articulating the reason why God took us out of Mitzrayim, and you're doing it at the very beginning of the story as a praise of God for allowing us to reach the end point of the story. That's how you begin Magid, and then you end Magid with the full Shevach of saying, And then you put in a bakasha of may God bring us to future regalim where we can be involved in avodas Hashem as well, which is the full avoda. So again, I don't know if this is halakhically true, but I feel like if the Rav makes the move of saying that Birkas HaMazon and Kiddush are doing a double duty, and Rabbi Zucker makes the move of saying that the Birkas HaMitzvah of Matzah and Maror and Pesach are doing a double duty, I feel comfortable saying that Shehachianu is also doing a double duty and also doubling as Sibur Yitzis Mitzrayim. Okay, so that's the end of the second part of this year. Any questions on this? Okay, so now let me ask you, because I guess Esti and Aliza had to go. Do you two want the third part of this year for now, or do you want to save it for a future time? Third part of this year is going to be about the Omer. And I won't take offense either way.
I'm interested now, honestly.
Okay, you're interested now? Okay, good. Vega, what about you?
So I'm good now, too. I'm just wondering if, like, I don't know if they had to go, like, maybe we should wait so that they...
That's very kind of you. I'm going to go ahead and do it now because they can listen to the recording, or I'm actually going to be seeing Aliza on for Shabbos, and so I'll tell her. But thank you. Okay, so here's the Rambam's rules. Let's just go back here again. Okay, he says, what kind of mitzvahs do we make shehachianu on? So kol mitzvah shehi mizman lizman, any mitzvah that's from time to time. V'chein kol mitzvah shehi kinyan lo, any mitzvah that's an acquisition, and then v'chein mitzvah she'ena tadira v'ena mitzuya b'chol es, any mitzvah that's in uncommon, not like on calendar time, but like bris and pidyon haben. Okay, so ostensibly sfiras ha'omer is a mitzvah that's mizman lezman. We do the mitzvah once a year. Okay, not just one day, but we do it for 49 days. Okay, but fine. So Sukkah, we also do for 7 days. Ner Chanukah, we do for 8 days. Sfiras Omer, we do for 49 days. Okay, but it is Mizman Lezman. So the question is, why don't we say Shehechianu on Sfiras Omer? And it's a famous question with a famous answer. Okay, I don't know, famous, but like I've heard the answer talked about a lot. Does anyone know why or have ideas why we don't say Shehechianu on Sfiras Omer?
I was reading up on this week.
Oh, yeah?
And I fully forgot the answers that I read.
Okay. So maybe you'll recognize it when we hear it. And if you don't, then you'll find out that it's you'll have a different answer. Yeah.
So just a possible suggestion, but sure. We usually say Shehechianu before we do a mitzvah. And I know there's a machlokas if it's a mitzvah to count every single day, or if it's just a mitzvah to count the entire, 49 days. Okay. So maybe we're unsure if people sometimes forget to count. So then it would be a bracha levatala.
Okay. So that is one of the answers given. By the way, this question, I said there's a famous answer, but there are like 7 other answers that I've seen. Okay. And that's one of them, or at least that's how I understand one of them, that it's not a, well, let's take these other examples of like, shofar, right? You say Shehechianu and then you do the entire mitzvah right now, you know, but here, if you say Sfiras Omer is really like, one large mitzvah or a mitzvah that's done in components, every day for 49 days, you're not really doing the entire mitzvah. So it's not really nikkar. It's not discernible that your Shehechianu is relating to the entire mitzvah. That is definitely an answer that's given. Yeah. I just don't remember who said it, but that's an answer that's in the halachos. Okay. So the famous answer that's given is from the Baal HaMaor. Baal HaMaor was an early Rishon. He says that mitzvah, the counting the Omer is only a mitzvah to Oraisa when we actually bring the Omer. Okay. But nowadays, since we don't bring the Omer, our Sfiras Omer is just derabanan as a zecher lemikdash, as a remembrance of the fact, of what they used to do. And therefore, we are makil. We are lenient in a bunch of ways. Okay. And he gives an example in the Gemara that there was one of the Amorim that would only count days and not weeks, even though the full mitzvah is to count both. And the reason why that Amora gave is he said, it's just a zecher lemikdash. It's just a remembrance. So we could be lenient. So that's one answer the Baal HaMaor gives. And another answer he gives is he says, since this is just a zecher lemikdash, he says, Shehechianu is only stated over something that has enjoyment. Okay. Or simcha. But if you're counting the Omer to remember that we don't have the Omer because the Beis Mikdash is destroyed, then that's not simcha. In fact, it's the contrary to simcha. It's anguish. Okay. And therefore, we don't make a Shehechianu because Shehechianu is for simcha and our counting is only for anguish. Okay. So that's his other famous answer. Okay. So that works out. Okay. However, it doesn't work out according to the Rambam. Why? Because the Rambam holds that Sfiras Omer Bezman Hazeh is de Oraisa. Okay, he does not hold that it's a Zecha LeMikdash. And yet the Rambam also does not hold that we make Shafiano. Okay, so the question is why not? So this, what I'm about to read is, a shir from, excerpt from a shir. Again, I'm just going to quote part of a shir from Rav Shurkin, who is a Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik. Is this the right shir? Yeah. And he answers according to the Rambam. Okay, so he says like this. Oh, so first he gives two other answers, which he rejects. Okay, so he says, Ulam divri ha-Baal ha-Ma'or lob ma'alim arucha adayin l'shitas ha-Rambam. The words of the Baal Ma'or are not going to help the according to the shita of the Rambam. Desfir le, because the Rambam holds, shesfiras omer hu min ha-Torah. Rambam holds the count of the omer is from the Torah. Afilu bizman hazeh, even nowadays. Ulididei ha-davar hadra kushi l'dukta. My time ha-aim avarchim birkas hazman al sfiras omer. So now the question returns to its place. Why don't we make a bracha of shachiyano on sfiras omer? So he's going to quote two other answers, which he rejects. Uvasefer Shivle Haleket Kasav, so the Shivle Haleket, who was a late Rishon, writes, Shamachayev Shal Sfiras Omer Hu Chag HaPesach. The Machayev, the thing that obligates you to count the Omer, is the day of Pesach itself. How do we know this? Because Ukumosha Kasav, because the Pasuk says, Mimacharas HaShabbos, which Torah Shabbat Peh tells us means on the day after Pesach. Okay, so in other words, the day of Pesach obligates you to do several things, to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, to eat matzah, to eat maror, and the day of Pesach obligates you to count the Omer on the day after. Okay? The Al-Kain, therefore, Birkas HaShehachiano Shel Chag HaPesach, Poteres as Mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer. The Shehachiano you make on the night of Pesach covers your Sfiras HaOmer Shehachiano. Okay, so according to this answer, he holds Shachianu really, you really are obligated to say Shachianu, but since the thing that obligates you in Shachianu is the night of Pesach, or the day of Pesach, I should say, so then the Shachianu you say on Pesach covers your Shachianu on Sfiras Omer, and you don't need to say a new one. Okay, and the Rav says, Behu Chiddush Gadol. That's a big Chiddush, okay, that where do we ever see that you make a Shachianu on a mitzvah the day before, simply because that's the day that obligates you. And then this would be a unique case. Okay, fine. So the Rav doesn't seem to like that. Then he quotes a second answer, which in my opinion is even more outlandish. And he doesn't say who says this. Others say that since the essential thing that obligates you in Sfiras Omer is the establishing of the Chag HaShavuos, right? We know that in Torah, all the holidays have a calendar date except for Shavuos. Shavuos is not determined by calendar date. It's determined by counting the Omer. It's 50 days after Pesach. So he says, Ubirkas hazman shel Shavuos potarto. So according to that answer, the Shehachian you say on Shavuos covers your Sfiras Omer. Now, what's weird about that?
Can you repeat that one more time?
Yeah, sure. So he's saying that the bracha that you of Shehachiyanu you say on Shavuos covers your Sfiras HaOmer because the whole reason you're counting the Omer is to establish when Shavuos is. So what I find weird is you're telling me you make a Shehachiyanu on Sfiras HaOmer after you're completely done with the mitzvah. That's weird. All the other Shehachiyanus you say before you do the mitzvah. This one you're saying after the mitzvah is done. It's weird. Okay. And he also says, Avakati Tarchion. He says, that needs further analysis. Okay. So he doesn't like that. So he's going to give his answer, but anyone want to give their own answer first for why we wouldn't say Shachianu on Sfiras HaOmer?
Could it be that we're counting? I mean, this one, I'm not sure if this, I think we kind of like, this might have been addressed actually, but like about how it's the Zecher LeMikdash, how we don't have an Omer to Korban to bring. So like we're counting, but there's like, we're counting to bring the Omer, but we're not bringing the Omer. So.
Okay. So there is that is connected to the answer we mentioned. But again, that only works out for those who say that it's a Zecher. You know, Rambam holds that it's a completely separate independent mitzvah. So according to the Rambam, the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer is exactly the same now, whether we have an Omer or not. So it's not going to work for him. Okay, so here is the answer that the Rav gives. He says like this, V'nir levayer bezeh, we can explain as follows. Do you uyan b'sefer chinuch, look at the sefer chinuch, b'bir shorash mitzvah sviras omer, who explains the root of the mitzvah of sviras omer, meaning the reason. Zeh l'shono, here's what he says. L'fi shekol ikaron shel Yisrael eino ela ha-Torah. The whole essence of Israel is the Torah. U'mipnei ha-Torah nivrau, we were created because of the Torah, v'chulei, etc. V'hi ha-ikrav ha-siba shenigalu v'yatu mimitzrayim, k'dei sheyakablu ha-Torah b'sinai v'yikaimuha. And this is the essence and the reason why we were taken out of Mitzrayim, which is in order to receive the Torah at Sinai and to fulfill it. Ukamosha Amar Hashem Lamosha, as Hashem said to Moshe, Vizelacha Haoski Anachish Lachticha, Bohotiaha Esam Mitzrayim, Ta'avdun Esha Lakim Al Harazah. Hashem says to Moshe at the burning bush in Shemos 3:12, here's the sign that I have sent you. When you take out the people from Mitzrayim, you will serve God on this mountain, meaning Har Sinai. Umipnekin, because this is the entire essence of Israel, and that's why we were redeemed, and this is why God elevated us. Therefore, he commanded us to count from the day of Yom Tov of Pesach, the day after the Yom Tov of Pesach, until the day of Matan Torah. Laharos benafshenu, in order to exhibit, to enact for our souls, Hachevitz agadol, the great desire, el hayom hanichbar v'nichsaf l'libeno, to show how much we desire the day of Matan Torah. Ke'evit yishaf sel, like a servant who's waiting for shelter. V'yimna tamin masa yavo ha'ez hanichsaf elav shiatza l'chiros. And the servant is always counting to the time when he's going to go free. Ki haminyan mar el adam ki kol yishov chetzo l'hagia el zmana. Who, whenever a person counts, then they're showing how much they want that time to arrive. That's why we count the Omer. We say such and such days have passed from the count. We don't count how many days we have left. All of this shows the great desire we have to get to the time. Okay, that's a whole separate question, but why we count down up instead of down, I don't want to get into that. So he says, but his main point is kikoze mare banu haratzon hachazak lahagia esasman. All of our counting shows the desire we have to reach that time. Okay, now pause. Can you guess what he's going to say? So why would we not say Ashachianu on counting the Omer if Omer is showing our desire to reach the time of Matan Torah?
Sorry, can you repeat that one more time?
Yeah. So the point he's making is, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, the whole reason why we count is to demonstrate our yearning to arrive at the time of Matan Torah, because Matan Torah is why we were created and why we got out of Mitzrayim. So counting is an act of showing our desire to reach the time of Matan Torah. So based on that, why would we not say Shachianu on the mitzvah?
Well, wouldn't you just say it then, like, at the time that you're receiving, you're getting Matan Torah?
Good. So now just reverse engineer it. So what would be weird or wrong with saying it while you're in the middle of the count or when you're counting?
Because you're not like in the action of receiving it, of getting
exactly.
it, you're not
exactly
like,
okay,
doing
good.
It.
Exactly. So let's see how the Rav says it, or how Rav Shurkin in the name of the Rav says it. Mavur, the whole mahus mitzvah sefer yosah omer, he says it's clear from the Sefer HaChinuch that the entire essence of counting the omer, hum mipnei she'adayin lo higanu lazman shel matan Torah, is to show, oh good, hold on a second, Essie got here just for the punchline. Essie, you got here just for the in time for the svaras. So let me just catch you up really quickly. So the question is, why don't we make a shehechianu on counting the omer? Okay, according to the Baal HaMa'or, the reason is because our counting the Omer is just a zecher for the Churban, and Shechianu is only on Simcha events, and therefore we don't want to say a happy bracha on something that's sad. But the Rambam holds that we count the Omer de Oraisa nowadays, and it's not a zecher. So according to the Rambam, why don't we make a Shechianu on counting the Omer? Okay, so the Rav quoted the Sefer Chinuch, who says that the whole reason we count the Omer is to show our yearning to arrive at the Zman Matan Torah, which is the whole reason we were taken out of Mitzrayim and the whole reason why we exist. So we were just reading now. So he says, it's clear that the entire essence of counting the Omer is because we have not reached the time of Matan Torah. V'chol ha-sfira hi laharos ulegalos al ha-chesron she'adayin lo higanu l'matan Torah. The entire reason we count is to show the lack that we have, that we haven't reached Matan Torah. V'anu mechakim, and we are yearning, masa yavo v'yagia hayom ha-nechsaf she'matan Torah. When are we going to get to the time of Matan Torah? V'im kein, if so, nimsa, turns out, she'kol mahu's mitzvah ha-sfira sa-omer hu lehefech mehamatbea shel birkas she'achyanu. The entire essence of the mitzvah of counting the omer is the exact opposite of the formula of count of Shehachiano. The Birka Shehachiano he hoda'a al Shekiano v'higano kvar lazman hazeh. The entire Shehachiano is a giving thanks to God that he preserved us and brought us to this time. The ilu sfiras ha'omer, but the counting of the omer, ba'al haros sheha'es ha'nechsav adayin loba. That counting the omer is a demonstration that the time we're waiting for has not arrived. Dominion Balaharos as Yisho Vechepto Lahagia Liom Hakamishim. Our counting is an expression of our yearning and desire to reach the 50th day. Of all Ein Lo Shum Simcha Bismanchal Hasfira Gufa, but there is no joy in reaching the time of the Sfira. The Adrava, to the contrary, Hasfira Havi Masa Shal Tsa'ar Alachesron Shlohi Gano Adain Lamatan Torah. Our counting of the Omer is an expression of pain about the time that we about the fact that we have not reached the time of Matan Torah. V'lo shaycha be birkas she'achyanu, and therefore she'achyanu is not relevant. So, in just to summarize it here, she'achyanu is a bracha thanking God for helping you to reach the present time, but sfiras Omer is an acknowledgement that we have not reached the time that our whole essence is for, which is the time of Matan Torah. Therefore, you don't make the bracha of Shachianu on this particular mitzvah, even though it ordinarily would qualify. And according to what Nava said, when you say a Shachianu on Shavuos, you should be thinking about the fact that now we've arrived at the time that we've been waiting for, which is the time of Matan Torah. You know, so in that sense, it almost is, it's not exactly as radical as the second answer that we read, which says that the bracha of Shehecheyanu on Shavuos counts for Sfiras Omer, but philosophically, it does. Philosophically, every night you're counting to get to the point where you reach the time that we're all waiting for, and then on Shavuos you say Shehecheyanu because we've now gotten to the time that we've all been waiting for. So that's according to the Rav why we don't say Shehecheyanu on Sfiras Omer, even though it ordinarily would qualify.
It's interesting the note that he brings up, because I think a lot of it is we view Sfirat HaOmer as like such an exciting time because we're counting up, but rather it's actually like a time of pain. Even like that's a very interesting note to bring up. Like, no, we're counting to this thing that like we don't have just yet.
Exactly. It's
like, yeah. So tremendously important.
Right. So it's very interesting. Someone just asked me recently, you know, how are we supposed to view the time period of the Sfira? And they asked it from the standpoint of like, we're on the one hand, like we're counting up to Matan Torah and we're counting from the barley harvest, which is like both of those are joyous things. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva's students died, you know, and that's mourning. So I think there is a duality like that, but I think the duality, I don't like making the duality dependent on Rabbi Akiva's students, because even though that happened, it did happen way after Matan Torah. So that's not like in the institution of Sfiras Omer. But what Nava is saying now, is a sense that we realize that our simcha is lacking through the whole period of counting. We're saying that our simcha is lacking insofar as we don't yet have Torah. You know, only when we have Torah can our simcha be complete. So while it's not like a state of active mourning like we do nowadays with Rabbi Akiva students, it is an acknowledgement that without Torah, we can't have a complete simcha, which is a good idea to think about. Okay, so those are the three insights of Shehecheyanu. Just to recap, first insight is what Shehecheyanu is about, is it's a bracha thanking God for allowing you to reach the present time, which is going to set you up for realizing that you don't intrinsically deserve this. You lived until now, you could have been dead and you could have not had this pleasure. And it will also enhance your pleasure for the future. And then there was my tip, which was when you say Shehecheyanu at the holidays, use it as an opportunity to reflect on being grateful for the present and realizing that this is that God gave you this, and this is a unique opportunity. This Shavuos, this Pesach, this Purim, you know, this is the only one I'm going to get of this particular one, and I should be thankful for that. And that'll set you up to live that as your last, because it is your last time you're having this particular thing. That was idea number one. Idea number two is that the similarity in the lashon of the Shehecheyanu of the Higyanu Lazman Hazeh and the bracha on Magid, the Higyanu Halayla Hazeh Lechol Bo Matzah Maror, points to the fact, the question was, what is the similarity? So based on the fact that the Rav said that Kiddush does a double duty, it's Kiddush and it's Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, because Mazon does a double duty, it's Birkas Mazon and it's Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Rabbi Zucker's fact that the Birkas HaMitzvah does a double duty, it's Birkas HaMitzvah and it's Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. I wanted to say that Shehechyanu does a double duty. It's Shehechyanu, but it's also telling the story of God brought us to this night to eat matzah and maror, to do mitzvos. That's why God took us out of Mitzrayim. And it's like showing the end of the story. And then you go back and you tell the entire story and lead it up to that time. So you start off the night when you make Kiddush, you say, God brought us to this night, alluding to the fact that he brought us here to eat matzah and maror and to do mitzvos. Then you tell the entire story of Yetzias Mitzrayim that you conclude with the Higia Halayla Hazeh Le'echol Matzah U'Maror. And it brings it full circle. And so you're telling the story. And then the third idea is, why don't we make Shehechyanu on Sfiras Omer? Because Shehechyanu is a bracha of thanks for the presence, but Sfiras Omer is an acknowledgement that the present time is lacking, and we're really yearning to get to the future of Matan Torah. And that's why we refrain from making Shehechyanu on Sfiras Omer, because its nature goes against the nature of Sfiras Omer. Okay. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much.
All right. Glad you were able to make it, and have a good Shabbos. And appreciate it, because it's the last time you're going to get this Shabbos.
But we don't say Shehechyanu.
We don't say Shehechyanu. Yeah, and the reason for that, by the way, they say, is that because Shabbos occurs regularly, even though it's Mizman Lazan, it's too regular. Like, the general shear for how much time has to pass for Shehechyanu is 30 days. And then, therefore, they raise the question, well, why don't we say it on Rosh Chodesh? But no one ever thinks that we make it on Shabbos, even though it is special. Yeah. All righty. Have a good Shabbos.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/ChaseQuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at RabbiSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening, thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.